Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
You are listening to Inside F1 with Joe Sayward on Missed Apex Podcast. We live F1. Welcome to Inside F1 with Joe Sayward, part of the Missed Apex Motorsport Podcast Network. I'm Spanners, the host and producer of Missed Apex Podcast. We're an independent podcast produced in the podcasting shed with the kind permission of our better halves. We aim to bring you a race review before your Monday morning commute. We might be wrong, but we're first. Thank you for all the responses we've had for the North American karting. I definitely have enough responses to go ahead with it, so we're looking for the first two weekends in June. Obviously, the second one is the Canadian Grand Prix itself. So we have a track in Canada we're talking to and a track in New York that we're talking to. So you will, if you've registered your interest, you'll get an email today from me with a little bit of a survey of what we think is the best option. Coming up this week on the stream, we've got a normal live stream at 8 p.m. UK time this Sunday, so come and join us live. And on Saturday, you can watch our live-streamed iRacing event from 8 p.m. I know, thrilling, right? You can watch us having fun playing a video game. Chris Stevens will be on the mic commentating for you. It might be fun. It might just be carnage. You can find our Missed Apex Motorsport channel on all our social media. We've got a new channel just for those kind of things. And then on the 15th of March, we'll be here at 8 p.m. reviewing the Australian Grand Prix. Or will we? Best place to tell us that is F1 media legend, a man who's been to every Grand Prix since 1998. It's everyone's F1 uncle, Joe Sayward. How's it going there, Joe?
1988, get it right.
What did I say?
98.
I've made
that's
that...
just lop off 10 years, nothing too serious, you know.
I've made that mistake before, but it must be because you're looking so well and rested, Joe, that you must be looking youthful. I've taken 10 years off you. Are you going anywhere? Is your bag packed?
Yeah, I'm going to London tomorrow, or day after tomorrow, I think, for a day. And then I should be back and go to Australia on Monday, in theory. And unless they cancel it. Actually, if they cancel it, I might go anyway, to be honest. I mean, if you paid for the fare, you might as well use it.
I'm gathering that, you know, restaurants and stuff are cheap, so because no one's going on holiday.
Well, the Australian dollar's gone through the floor, which is great if you're visiting. But if you're organising events or something, it's not so great. But there you are.
And so what are the noises you're hearing, though, out of the FIA and out of the events? You know, we understand.
It's irrelevant what the FIA says. It's irrelevant what the Formula One group says because it's down to government. And so basically we wait and listen to the chief medical officer of the Australian government, who is a professor somebody or other, who says right now there's no need to place Italians into quarantine because it's not that bad in Italy. It is quite bad, but it's very regionalized. So that's really the only reason to cancel anything. There's lots of other problems getting there, like, you know, routings and things. You're allowed to go through Singapore, a lot of people, because of insurance. I'm going through Dubai But I'm not allowed to go to Bahrain on the way back from Dubai at the moment. But I think the Bahrainis are sorting that out. Presumably they're putting on rather fancy planes or something so that they can pick up all the Formula One people who arrive in Dubai, because that's the major routing that one takes to go to Bahrain. Almost everybody passes through Dubai. So it's just that's Formula One.
Well, you say that the FIA have no control over it. Obviously, they have no control over official government advice. But Sam Whatley asked the question on Twitter, interested to know the extent that this kind of curtailed season is provided for in the sporting regs, because he cited that Braun is making noises about no team left behind. So, I mean, the FIA can
Well, teams
decide.
Have been left behind over in the history of the sport all the time. So that's just Rossi's modern ideas. There is no coverage in the sporting regulations, as far as I know. There are commercial agreements where teams agree to be there. And if they're not there, it's because of force majeure. And I presume that an outbreak of a virus is force majeure, or act of God. There are two things, actually. But if you think back, or you know a little bit about the 1960s and 1950s, Ferrari, well, before you were born, I suppose, yes. Ferrari basically used to fail to turn up occasionally because of strikes in Italy. Now, they didn't have commercial agreements in those days, but they did have, they had a world championship. So the race went ahead without Ferrari. So there is no precedent. But of course, I understand what Ross is saying, and he's quite right, really. You shouldn't, in the modern age, particularly with the amount of commercialization that exists, have races where not everybody is allowed to get there.
So, Joe, I'm assuming, you know, your balls are still flesh, not crystal, but Just a Bloke has asked us in our Slack group, how many races does Joe think will be lost this year?
I have no idea. I have no idea, and I will have no idea probably until the day before. I haven't booked to go to Vietnam yet, let's put it that way, because first of all, nobody in their right mind is flying to Vietnam, and so there's plenty of availability. And second of all, I don't know if it's going to happen. So, you know, they say it's going to happen. Everybody says it's going to happen. But we have to see. And, you know, there's an awful lot of panic going on in the world. I mean, it's a bad thing, this virus, and we shouldn't underestimate. There's lots of people saying, oh, no, it's just like flu. Well, it's not like the flu. It's like a very, very dangerous flu that could kill dozens of millions of people. So, you know, let's get real about this thing.
I'm glad
you said
that, Joe.
Even if it's only 2%.
I'm glad you said that, Joe. I was, you know, you never know which way people are going to go, because there is a lot of, oh, it's just cold. You know, we've had wars before and they were all right. Yeah, it doesn't kill as many people as spears. Yeah, all right.
Well, you know, there's a Spanish influenza that came in 1919. A little history lesson for those who don't know these things.
Okay.
In 1919, there was a First World War, which killed quite a lot of people. And then in 1918 and 1919, there was a Spanish influenza that killed way more than the war. So something like 25 million. They don't really know because they didn't have proper records, but it was at least 20 million people were killed by this flu. So if you do the numbers on a 2% death rate on 60% of the world's population, you get to 90 million. 90 million is a lot of people.
So it's a high number.
We should be serious about this. However, I think every Australian's buying loo paper to such an extent that there is no loo paper left anywhere in Australia is perhaps a little excessive. Right. Although I was in the supermarket in France yesterday, and the pasta department has been well ravaged, let's
Look,
say.
Here in the Spanner's home, we have enough pasta and bog roll to self-quarantine ourselves. But look, Joe, we're not doctors, and we're not you know, the CDC or whatever. The effect on the championship is interesting, because, you know, people are thinking that it's the Asian leg, the flyaways, that are being affected more. Of course, the European leg could be equally affected as we get round to that part of the year. And there's talk of substitute tracks. Do you think if
who wants to go to Monza right now? I mean, you know, Monza is in the thick of Lombardia, where it's all at. There are cases in Monza. You know, it's not, it's impossible to say what's going to happen in 6 months' time. If it's a pandemic, logically speaking, if it's everywhere in the world, it doesn't stop people traveling. It's just that it is in some places and not in others at the moment. Therefore, there is this sort of panic going on, saying we won't let them in. To be quite honest, I don't think that stopping people at borders is actually going to help very much, because, you know, things will move whatever happens, because you can't identify if somebody's really got it or not, it seems. I mean, lots of people have been missed.
Welcome to our chat room. Lurcher260, who is watching us live by searching for YouTube and then going to Missed Apex Podcast, says, yes, he's confirming most Melbourne supermarkets have run out of toilet paper. And
They have.
Wazza, I'm not going to pronounce that, buddy. Wazza says, Joe, how about replacing those events with esports? Easy.
Well, you can have esport events, but I think that the older generation of Formula One drivers who don't know how to drive these things wouldn't do so well. And the other thing is, I was talking to Max Verstappen last summer, and he was talking about esports, because he does it with, he was teamed up with Lando Norris, and I think they won the Spa 24 Hours or something like that, but virtually. And he said, I could not get close to the regular gamers. I cannot compete with them. They are better than me because they spend their time doing it day in, day out. I haven't got time to do it. He just arrives, drives it. So, you know, you can have a world championship for e-gamers, but it's not the same as a world championship for Formula One drivers. The bottom line is, if we have 7 races, that's enough. You know, you have a world champion at the end of it. There used to be very few number of races in the old days. It's expanded because there's money in it, and therefore we got 22 or 21 if China doesn't happen. So as long as you have, I don't know if there's a rule saying what the minimum number of races must be.
Ah, yes.
There are rules in about world championships, but having said that, the World Endurance Championship is supposed to have a number of manufacturers, and it clearly doesn't. So it's only if the FIA feels the need to sort of knock it on the head, but they don't want to because obviously it's one of their important championships. So that's why Toyota, actually they've got this balance of performance now, which means Toyota can't win. And so Rebellion's winning it at the moment, I think, which doesn't make any sense to me at all because clearly it's all artificial. But, you know, that's what you have to do. So I have no idea where we're going to go. I have no idea what will happen. By the time we get back to Europe, I would think that most of Europe will be as infected now. I mean, it's just growing every day, everywhere, pretty much. Apart from Vietnam, of course, where nothing's happening at all.
Everything's
and
fine.
They've cured everybody there. They've de-quarantined the closed-off areas, and everything's fine.
Gottfried Metz in the chat says, I would suggest Joe not wildly speculate about things he's not an expert on. Now, Joe, you haven't done. You've done a stand-up job here.
You're quite right. I haven't done. No, so, I mean, welcome to the world. Everybody in the world is speculating.
Yes.
I went to the garage the other day and they speculated. I went to the supermarket and they speculated. I'm merely having a conversation. I'm not speculating. I'm just saying this is how it looks. Now, as a rider to that, I have been following the coronavirus, as was now called COVID-19, for about 6 weeks very closely. And if you read my JSBM newsletter, you'll see that, because it struck me immediately that this was a major problem that we had to keep an eye on. And so I've been following it very closely. So perhaps I have a little bit more knowledge, not necessarily expertise, but I've certainly spent a lot of time looking it up. And I can tell you, you know, up to about, I'm usually about sort of 6 hours behind where things are happening, because you can't get much closer than that.
Joe, thank you. Yes, I think if we go too much further down this path, it will become instantly out of date. That's the big problem about talking about the coronavirus. The big news, really, from a motorsport calendar point of view, is that there is an asteroid due to cross the Earth's path on April the 29th. And if it hits, that'll end the world, which is... frankly,
marvelous.
At this point, yeah, I think it's a relief at this point, if I'm honest with you, Joe.
I would add that Bahrain, it looks like the organisers in Bahrain are taking special steps, because I had a message yesterday saying, please advise on all your travel plans and where you've been and where you'll be going to. And so they've obviously got some sort of plan ahead. So even if they do have problems, and their problems are largely related to people they catch at the airport, I don't think they've had any direct transmissions inside the country. They may have done today, but they hadn't yesterday. So we'll see where we go. But, you know, I think it's growing everywhere. And I think we have to face up to the fact that we're going to have a disrupted year.
Certainly. And some people are wondering if I'm going to ask you about Ferrari. Let me think about it. Okay, I'll confess, it was kind of in my show notes. And we had a big bomb drop this morning, which is the teams writing a letter. Joe, obviously, before we came on air, you were furiously scrambling because it came up just as we were doing, you know, the prep to go live. I think there's two things to approach here. The team statement we'll just put to one side to start with. The FIA secret agreement thing. The last time you were on, you said you were sitting on a big news story. Was it not related? Ah, okay.
No.
But so they've come to a secret agreement about what they were doing last year. Last year, you made the statement here on this show that you said you did not believe a publicly listed company could just, you know, lie in the manner that I may have been cheekily suggesting. But with this private agreement, you could be forgiven now for cynics like me to say, well, they were just rumbled. They were caught red-handed doing something wrong. And now this is all a face-saving.
Yeah, but you can't prove any of that. The fact is that what is the error that the FIA has come up with? And it is the FIA who has who's fundamentally made the mistake. If you're going to have a secret deal, keep it secret. You don't announce secret deals. Secondly, you don't announce secret deals on Friday nights at 6 o'clock, which is clearly a time that you put out bad news. I mean, it's just not clever thinking. You put out a thing. I had the FIA on the phone and they said, we put it out because that's when the decision was made. I said, well, maybe that's true, but you'd never put anything out on a Friday night because everyone knows you're trying to hide it. Even if you're not, that's what people are going to think. You've got to use some thought processes, and you can't just sort of, well, we'll just shove it out there and nobody will worry about it. So you have a secret deal that you've announced, and you've announced it at the wrong time. So, you know, I just don't get it, to be honest. I mean, I don't suppose there's anything really bad in it. I think probably the whole reason for keeping it private is the fact that it's private information that Ferrari doesn't want to share with other teams, which is fair enough. But just do it in a sensible way. And that's where I think the FIA, they're going to come in for a huge amount of stick. And this is, you know, I gave them a bit when it came out, and now the teams have all got together and they're going to get a load more stick, and they're threatening legal action and this sort of stuff. So, you know, you can't run a sport like that. So, Article 2 of whatever it is, Article 2 of the FIA statute says it will be run in a transparent manner. So they broke their own rules straight away. I mean, you don't even have to read very far down the list of articles, and they've broken it. So let's just get real, get it out in the open. If it's something that relates to something that Ferrari doesn't want other people to know about, at least go into the details of you know, we had to change something on something. You know, just to tell as much as you can, because it's not transparent.
Okay, so we can't prove anything. They haven't revealed the details of their secret agreement. But I mean, what you must have an opinion. What do you think they figured
out? I think it's stupid. I think it's completely stupid. But I think, you know, do I have an opinion? Do I think that Ferrari was cheating? No, they probably weren't cheating. They were pushing. Well, who knows? But
how do you think they were pushing?
They were
the
pushing. They no, they can't, because you know they are. It's a very, very difficult thing when you're playing games like that. And I think it's right to talk about being a listed company. You have certain responsibilities. You're a public company. You have responsibilities to your shareholders and all this kind of stuff. So I don't think you can basically cheat. Now, that doesn't mean that people working for you won't do it without you knowing. A good example of that being Singapore in 2008, where members of the Formula One team did things that the Renault company didn't know about. The minute the Renault company found out, incidentally, they confessed everything, said, we're responsible, we're leaving the sport. So, you know, they basically recognized what had happened, but some of their people hadn't. Now, if that's what's been going on at Ferrari, well, that's another question. But I think what the CEO said is true, Louis Camilleri. I think that you have to be responsible in the way you deal with things. Now, beyond that, the whole thing's just a mess. And what we want is transparency. What everybody wants is transparency. And the minute they get transparency, we'll all shut up and go away. It's very simple. It's not rocket science, but you can't do that stuff in the modern age.
It breeds a lot of conspiracy theories, though, doesn't it?
Of course it does. Of course it does, because that's the lunacy of a lack of transparency. You're just inviting people to have conspiracy theories. It doesn't make sense. It is completely illogical. And it's probably one of these things that happens when somebody who doesn't understand the way the media operates, you know, does something that blows up in their face. Because they, I mean, obviously the head of communications at the FIA will understand how media works, but, you know, sometimes you don't argue with the boss. If the boss says, this is what we're going to do, or whoever, I don't know. I don't know what happened, but what I do know is that it's a mess, and it doesn't do the sport any good at all, and we need to have it cleaned up.
So, you know, you said it invites conspiracy. I have grasped that invitation with three hands, Joe. Go on, let me do some.
Go on, let's hear it. Is Lord Lucan involved?
Okay, so they found a way to make their fuel delivery more efficient, either with additives or tricking the sensor. It was one of those two mm-hmm. things, right? Mm-hmm. They were able to run underweight because their fuel thing was so efficient at the beginning of the straights. Now that they've lost that, it's coincided now with all these negative statements. A kind of put in more context with Binotto throwing in the towel for 2020, with them being so far down on power that people assumed they weren't running anything like their race engine modes, which I'm sure all teams do to an extent. Then this FIA statement comes out that they've come to an agreement. Now they've come to an agreement and suddenly Ferrari are out of the 2020 championships. So my wild conspiracy is that the behind closed doors, Ferrari have had their wrists wrapped severely and told effectively not to win the 2020 World Championship. Yes, conspiracy confirmed.
Well, it's a conspiracy theory, yeah. Do I think there's any elements of that that are true? I don't know. I honestly don't know where Ferrari is either on the pecking order, because they're talking everything down. They're looking worried. They're scratching their heads. But yet, if you do the race analysis on the lap times, so I'm told, I haven't sat down and done it, but I'm told that if you do that, they're pretty much on the pace of Mercedes. So, you know, how do you know? We don't know. We never know. It's always the same this time of year. You turn up in Australia and we find out what the situation is. It's that simple.
I hope you're right, Joe. I really hope you're right. I mean, what F1 could really do with is a battle between Lewis Hamilton and Charles Leclerc really fighting tooth and nail for a championship.
I don't think so. I think Lewis Hamilton versus Sergio Perez would be fine.
Oh, we'll come to that. Oh, I'm so excited, Joe. The prophecies are being fulfilled, finally. Right.
Yeah, but that the way it's done is not necessarily the right way of doing it, but there you are.
Okay, so Joe, now that brings us to the team. So like you said, they're going to come under a lot of fire. If you don't mind, I'm going to take a moment just to quickly read the statement that the teams have undersigned, just for mm-hmm. the sake of anyone listening. We, the undersigned teams, were surprised and shocked at the FIA's statement regarding the conclusion of its investigation into the Ferrari power unit. Stuff about governance, integrity and transparency, as Joe mentioned. After months of investigation that were undertaken by the FIA, only following queries raised by other teams, we strongly object to the settlement being done in a confidential way and for it to conclude in this matter. Therefore, we publicly state our shared commitment to pursue full and proper disclosure in this matter. In addition, we reserve our rights to seek legal redress with the FIA. So I've redacted that a little bit because I got bored while I was reading it. But the teams that signed it are basically... yep, that's all the teams without Ferrari engines, Joe.
That would be logical, wouldn't it? I don't suppose any of the Ferrari supply teams would have signed that one. It's a bit like people saying, why did McLaren let Pat Fry go to Renault early? Duh, think about it. You can't race without an engine, can you? Anyway, on we go. So, yeah, we'll see how it all turns
out.
But is that hot air? It's a big mess anyway.
Is that hot air from the other teams, or are they really pushing to have it reviewed?
No, I think they're very upset, and I think they're very upset for good reason, because it's not so much what the details are may be really boring, but the fact it's been done in an untransparent way with or opaque way, let's put it untransparent, not being a very nice word, in an opaque way, particularly in relation to Ferrari, which of course has always been, Ferrari has always been the FIA pet, if you like. Now that's the long held belief that Ferrari was allowed to get away with things other teams weren't. Now for years we've believed that's all gone away. And then suddenly we have this opaque decision that makes it look as though it's all come back. And they seem surprised that people are upset, but it's just bonkers.
Glad to hear you say that, Joe. Georgie, on our Facebook page, you can be my Facebook friend. You're on Facebook, Joe. Can people be your Facebook friend?
I am, yes.
Search
but I only accept people I've actually met.
Oh, really? Oh, no, no. I've got, I'm a Facebook, I nearly said a bad word. I will accept any Facebook request. Search for Richard
Reddy. You can join me on Twitter if you don't know me at all. But Facebook, I think, is there's a certain level of personalization in Facebook.
Well, I love all of you. And you can come and be my friend, Richard Reddy, on Facebook, or join our Missed Apex podcast Facebook group, which has now risen to the level that you get badges. I didn't know that was a thing. Apparently my profile, I am a rising star in that group. So you can come and comment on stuff and get badges. You can also follow the show on Twitter at Missed Apex.
Is that like Blue Peter badges?
Yeah, I think so. Kind of. Basically, if you can make a rocket ship out of old toilet paper or,
if you can find it in Melbourne, you can't. It's not fair.
Yeah, in Australian kids are right out of luck here. Fairy up, washing up liquid bottle as well. Yeah, so come and be our friends. Come and follow us. That would be awesome. You can even support the show on patreon.com/missedapex. Georgie, I think, has the last word on this. He says, Joe, he's loved you for years and followed your writing. Here's his conspiracy theory. Ferrari was cheating all along. They made it seem like they were cheating, but they weren't. And they downturned their engines for the last races so that everyone thought they were, and then concentrated on downforce in the off season. And it's a massive bluff. And in Australia, they're going to have a 1-2. Thanks, Georgie.
That's entirely possible. They might have a 1-2 in Australia, but I think I think the rest of it's probably a bunch of old poppycock. But there we are. People are going to have their own theories, so whatever. I don't know, and therefore I try to avoid having theories when you don't have any facts at all. But I suspect that for the FIA to have done what they did, they must have felt it wasn't that important to have. To have so blatantly shot themselves, what's taken two barrels in the foot, you know.
Wait a minute. So don't speculate when you don't have facts. That's what I've been doing wrong all these years.
Hey. Right?
I was playing bumper music there, Joe, so it looked all very pro. Good. It's less pro when you go, what? What's going? What's happening? What is this strange noise in the background? That is my signal that I was moving on to another subject. I have come to think of myself over the last 6 years doing this podcast as something of an oracle, Joe, like a wizened elf or something. And I'm pretty good with a bow and arrow on VR games. And I have foretold, as written in the Missed Apex scriptures, I am going somewhere with this, Joe, that Lance Stroll would be a world driver champion. And I need to now know, and so does Utter Shambles, does Joe now believe, do you believe the prophecy?
No. Next question.
But he's got a Mercedes championship.
Yes, but he's also got a teammate who's faster than him. So this is a fundamental flaw in the argument, isn't it?
Well, I just thought, like, you can't.
So he can be second in the world championship, maybe. No problem, if that car is faster than Mercedes, which it won't be. Because you never get faster if you copy something, do you?
So this is my main question for you, Joe. What is the end game? This is a great stepping stone, but this can't be the end game. What is Papa Stroll thinking?
Well, it's very simple. You have 1 year left in the old formula. You have nothing to gain by staying with your own philosophy, which didn't work particularly well. It nearly did, but not quite. So why not do something radical? You've saved yourself a lot of effort probably in the winter as well by doing it that way. Maybe not. But there's an awful lot of work needs to be done in the course of this season for 2021. A huge amount. So anything you can do to make your life easier in 2020 and more competitive, because there's more money obviously involved, you want to do. So what all they've done is they've bought everything you can buy, and then they have quite openly admitted, we've copied it. But what they haven't done is they haven't copied using data directly from Mercedes. If they did that, they wouldn't be allowed. But Mercedes are not going to hand out data like that, because Mercedes are a listed company, blah, 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 play by the rules, blah, 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 social responsibility, blah, 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 blah. They're not going to do that. But having said that, it's irrelevant, because nowadays copying, you can do all kinds of measurement. You can get photographs with 3D conversion. May not be perfect, but it'll get you quite close. You have scanners. Teams have scanners that they use for quality control inside their organizations. You take one of those on the grid, you can scan an entire rival car. You don't even have to sort of stand up in front of it. You know, you can actually sort of put it in a fire extinguisher or something and make it look as though it's something that it's not. But you can scan anything and you can get that's to CAD CAM level. So, you know, when you come off the grid at a Grand Prix, you can actually at home, once you've downloaded it, over the internet, of course, at very high speed, blah, 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 you can have the other people's cars there. So, you know, where do you draw the line? The answer is, was there any clear
collusion?
Collusion between Mercedes and Racing Point? The answer is no, there wasn't. Obviously not.
Joe, it's a very kind of, you know, professional and mature approach to say, you know, the publicly listed company stuff. But Leo and others are saying, hey, look, you know, all sorts of things happen back doors in listed companies. And don't they now know there's a precedent set that it'll just be a private agreement?
Yeah, but they won't do it. I don't believe the people at Mercedes-Benz will do it. Because what do they get out of it?
Well, I was thinking money. Is that naive?
No, they get money anyway. I mean, yeah, I suppose you say, I'll pay you an extra 10 if you give me the data. If I were Toto Wolff, I'd say it's not worth the risk. You can get the data by another means.
Okay.
So I don't see that being a reason.
Sorry, Joe. Let's talk about Racing Point just as a racing outfit now, because that's the reality. The reality is they have that car, they have that aero, they have the engine. Like, I just want to know about the scale of ambition of this team, because I've been touting it as when I first had Stroll come into in F1, when I saw him come in, I looked up Papa Stroll and I went, that guy can do anything. He's got money, he's got business, he's got ambition.
Yeah, but lots of people come to Formula One being able to do everything, and lots of people come unstuck in Formula One. So you shouldn't assume that just because they've done well in other areas of life mean that they're going to do well in Formula One, because it takes a very special kind of attitude. And quite often, more often than not, people arrive and crash and burn. So, you know, Papa Stroll has done a lot of the right things. And he has ambition to be a factory team. That's why he's done this. Well, the Aston Martin deal is actually not specifically related to Formula One. I think it's just, what does Papa Stroll do for a living? Or what has he done for a living? He's built brands. So he's a brand manager or a brand promoter. And Aston Martin is a good brand that hasn't done as well as it could do. So basically, rather than doing it with clothing, he's doing it with cars. But it's a brand is a brand.
Oh, so Aston Martin, right? You said a key word there, which was works team. So there's a lot of new F1 fans, and we have a lot of new listeners lately. I thought that in this modern era, we'd kind of gotten used to saying works team meant engine manufacturer. When you say works team, what does that mean?
Well, a works team is, yeah, I mean, I guess it does mean engine manufacturer in most cases, but it doesn't have to. But I think it's a bit like Alfa Romeo. They're pretending. Sauber is pretending to be an Alfa Romeo team, isn't it?
Ah.
With a Ferrari engine in the back. So it's an Alfa. It's actually a Sauber Ferrari dressed up as an Alfa Romeo because they've been given money to call it that. So is that a works team? Probably not. So by that logic, Aston Martin won't be a works team. However, there is a difference. Fred Vasseur, or the Swedish bloke, doesn't own Alfa Romeo. So it's slightly different. And to be honest, Mr. Stroll doesn't own Aston Martin either. He owns only 20%.
For now.
You know, yeah, that's all. But you know, it's enough to have quite a strong voice.
It's just, like, what sort of scale of money are we talking about with the Strolls compared to the big teams? Could he just invest and go, right, we've now got the same resources as Mercedes and Ferrari?
He could, if he's got that kind of money. The thing about money is that if you go to these people, you know, the Sunday Times or whoever, who estimate how much someone's worth, it doesn't mean they've got it in cash. Doesn't mean it's sitting in a safe at the end of the garden.
Aww.
It means that's what their value is if you sold all the shares of da-di-da-di-da. So how much cash he's got is much more important. How much money he can borrow, actually, is quite often the case. Because smart people don't spend their own money. They borrow money and pay it back later. So really, it's a matter of, can you compete with that kind of thing? Maybe. I mean, Mercedes aren't spending that much money. If you look at all the sponsorship that's coming in, And they're getting to a point now where they, I think they've been told, get it neutral, get it cost neutral, which is why they have the Ineos deal on the car. And there are other sponsorship deals. And so, but you can get to cost neutral if you're in the leading role in Formula One and you have been for 6 years. If you can't get it to cost neutral, you're not doing a very good job.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Want flexibility? Take yoga. Want flexibility with your health insurance? Check out United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly medical, dental, and vision coverage that may be right for you. More at uh1.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you can't get it cost neutral, you can at least be carbon neutral, Joe.
Well, they've announced something like that, but I don't honestly understand all that lark. So, I mean, carbon neutral doesn't make any sense to me in a lot of respects because they're part of Formula One, and Formula One was talking about, let's all go carbon neutral. I said, okay, great. What are you doing about the spectators who drive to the races? Well, that's not what we're including. Well, hang on a minute. Isn't that part of it? All those people who drive to Formula One races are issuing effluence or whatever the word is. And they have to be taken into account. So otherwise it's just a PR job, isn't it? So, you know, I think everybody's talking about green this and green that. And some people are entirely bonkers. I mean, you know, Britain is going fully electric, not even hybrid, by 2035.
Yep.
Do you know what they have to do to get there?
No, tell me.
Do you know how many nuclear power stations you have to build to create enough power to use everything?
Seven.
Six.
Oh, hey, I wasn't far off. Not bad, is it?
Yeah, they're 15 billion each. So, and there's Brexit, which has got nothing to do with anything, of course, because Brexit is going to be a huge success and money will come flowing into the country in vast amounts. But just in case it doesn't, you have 6 times 15 billion to pay for. Not to mention the fact that you have people who are going to complain when you say, well, we're just building a nuclear power station next door, dear. People don't like nuclear power stations. And to get the electricity needed to run all the cars, you're going to need a lot of power. So these people are absolutely mad. It's just political. God, well, it's Boris Johnson, isn't it? I mean,
I have no strong political opinions one way or the other, Joe. The chat room's going
nuts. All politicians are like that. I'm not.
Chat room's going nuts. I did think, do I mention the carbon neutral thing to Joe? No, that'll just wind him up. Oh, no, that's literally my job. Pull that string, Spanners.
Look, I don't have anything wrong with saving the world. I have nothing against saving the world. But it's just a lot of tosh is talked about it. A lot of tosh is talked about it. And a lot of it's PR. Now, we can go around and make the world a better place. But making the world a better place, oddly enough, in relation to cars, I know it's going to sound totally bizarre, but fully electric, when you boil it down from birth to death of these cars, diesels are better nowadays. Look it up.
They're all
sitting. Get on Google and say how efficient are diesels and life, you know, full lifing of electric cars and all this sort of stuff. I tell you, it's a load of old tosh.
Joe, I don't fully endorse everything you're saying, but I love hearing about it and I love the amount of thought you've put into it. I'm going to steer it, though, back to F1 just to finish off Racing Point. Hey, look, we've got a serious situation. I know Lance Stroll is treated, not quite the same as the other drivers. I think he's getting better. And he's always in his defense. If he's not been the fastest guy, he's gone about things in the right way. He's not knocking cars off the track. He's going about it.
He's been on podiums more time than Nico Hülkenberg has.
Well, infinitely more so, yes. Infinitely more exactly. So.
But you have to take these things into account. The guy is not a noddy. He's there for a reason. Okay, one of the reasons is that daddy's rich, but then a lot of them are there because daddy's rich or have been in the past. So, you know, the fact is he's also got ability. And how much ability is the question? It's not about whether he deserves a place in Formula One. He clearly deserves to have a place in Formula One. Are there others with more talent who should have had a place in Formula One?
Yes,
perhaps
Joe.
There are.
No, yes.
Perhaps there are.
Definitely yes, though.
But they didn't get there because they didn't have a means of getting there. So, you know, somewhere along the line, you have to sort of just accept that
yes.
this happens. Mm. But the level of Formula One driver talent is the highest it's ever been this year. And I consider Lance Stroll to be right up there in the right, I'm not saying he's world champion material, but he has a right to be where he is.
I think what people miss is the standard of driving. Oh, God, I'm going to get emails for this. SpannersReady@gmail.com to tell me what an idiot I am. The standard of driving is so much higher now that even for a paid driver, you have to get all the way up to that standard.
Absolutely right.
And if you... Oh, people are going to get angry. Look, Lance Stroll is better than a lot of the old drivers that you hold in high regard. Just technically better. Just because those drivers in the olden days didn't have the same stiff competition, they didn't have the same training.
You can't compare different eras; it's a waste of time. But you know, basically, in the modern era, Lance Stroll can hold his own against, I would say, 60% of the grid.
Now, hold his own, not necessarily beat.
Can he develop? Yeah. When I say hold his own, I mean he is competitive with 60% of the grid. He doesn't qualify well, which is a big problem, but. As a racer, he can hold his own with about 60% of the grid, I would say. Now, he can get better. They can all get better. But the fact is that the quality of Formula One is higher than it's ever been, and Lance Stroll has a perfectly valid position in that. Okay, it's been easier for him.
Okay, but he is, now when I said a serious situation, that's not actually what I was talking about. That was my preamble, Joe. The serious situation is, we've got a real chance for my favourite driver on the grid, Sergio Perez, to fulfil some of that career-long potential. And he could be in it for race wins. And I just think he's the driver that if you give him the opportunities...
I'd calm down a little bit on that.
But, what?
Well, let's
I don't
rewind.
Want to, Joe.
I know you don't want to. You're a mad Perez fan, which I fully appreciate, because I'm a big fan of Perez as well, but not mad. You have to bear in mind that Perez had a very good opportunity, which he did not make the most of. And this is one of the things that happens in Formula One. It happened to Kevin Magnussen. It happened to Stoffel Vandoorne. Very, very fine.
Hang on, Joe. Joe, wait a minute. What's the common thread between all those situations you've just
had? It happened to a bunch of Red Bull drivers as well.
Yeah.
But, you know, the fact is that people get opportunities and you make the most of them as best you can. Now, in all those cases, you can make excuses and say he didn't do this or he didn't do that or he was up against Alonso or this or that. You know, the fact of the matter is that that is what you have to do. And if you have a knockback, that impacts on your career. That impacts on your own confidence. Now, right now, Perez is flying high. He's clearly a very talented guy. And, you know, he's in a good position. So good for him. Will he win races? That's another story. Will he get to Ferrari? No, he won't.
I don't think he needs to. Where would you rather be, Ferrari or Racing Point over the next few seasons? Udiva in the chat room.
Everybody wants to go to Ferrari in the end. At the bottom, underneath it all, they all want to be at Ferrari.
In our chat room here, Udiva says, look, Racing Point is the same team with the same engineers. And I don't think this is the point he's making, but the point I would get out of that is, yes, this is the team that has finished fourth in the championship with nothing. This is the team where everyone was saying Force India are the best pound-for-pound team. And people were saying that for season after season. Is that 2 fourth places in Formula One so far?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I think... Like so if it's the same
well,
team...
Well, actually, I think Haas has probably done a better job in the overall scheme of things with there, because they did very well in 1 or 2 years, didn't they? Until they went wrong. But, you know, the fact is that you come in, you have your strategy, and your strategy works or doesn't work. Now, Force India had a very good strategy. And it was quite successful. Haas had a very good strategy. It upset people. But all Force India is doing, all Racing Point is doing now is applying the Haas strategy in a more efficient way than Haas did. So, and that's why, to some extent, you haven't heard Haas complaining about it, because that's what they did. They can't complain about it.
Yeah,
because
no.
It's just,
it would be funny.
You know, now, if you're Williams, you can complain about it, because you've got this, you're sort of setting, you've got to make the gearbox, you've got to do this, you've got to do that. That's a rather old-fashioned attitude.
Joe, we're going to take a quick pause from the current grid to talk about where people can come and see you in real life. Because here you come and join me in the shed. It's 11 o'clock in the morning for me. I've got coffee. It's a very unfamiliar feeling for a podcast. But there is an opportunity to go and hang out with you, have some glasses of wine, some fine food, and listen to you talk. And you have audiences with Joe all around the world. And you've got one coming up in London.
I have two coming up, actually, one in London and one in Melbourne, if everything goes to plan. So basically, you come along and you ask me all the questions you want to ask me.
And it's interesting because you, the sort of people that go there kind of know. Do you have people going back again and again?
I do. I even have stalkers who follow me around the world. I think I've got one this year, actually, who's doing London and then a week later doing Melbourne.
But that's wonderful, because what you've done is you've kind of started to build like a little community of people that follow Joe around the world and ask him about F1.
Yeah, within reason.
And I will say that you are different. You are far more candid when it's the evening time and the lights are set low and it's Joe up at the front.
Yeah, as long as it's not being recorded, I'll say all kinds of things I wouldn't say.
I've been to
when it's going into a can.
Well, what did we do last time? We put it behind a paywall, didn't we? We recorded it and put it behind a paywall. I think it was all right. It was fun for me, anyway.
But psychologically, it was different. When you're talking, you're aware of the fact that this is all being recorded. Often at my audiences, I'll say, "Is anyone here a lawyer?" Nobody's ever said yes. Actually, I mean, the day somebody does, I have no idea what I'd do. It's like sort of, well, don't tell anybody what I said.
Why don't we? I'm going to propose this on air. Why don't we do a middle ground at some time that you're in the UK, and we'll go hire somewhere that's like a pub, and we'll do like this inside F1 with Joe, just a little bit looser for the live audience, and I'll definitely do an edit, and you can tell me which bits are litigious.
It sounds like Netflix, doesn't it? Yeah.
Wow, you're reading my show notes. By the way, that was Joe saying yes. I saw it in his eyes. That's legally binding. That's probably going to happen. Joe, well, you've got loads of time off. You're going to have loads of time off early in the season, aren't you? So
yeah, I might do, yes. But then again, I might not want to travel. I might want to be self-quarantined.
Doesn't sound bad.
Actually, I've been self-quarantined for the last 2 months, effectively, because I've barely gone anywhere.
I'm a dad of young children.
I went to Barcelona. Yeah.
I'm a dad of two young kids, Joe. It's not really going to make much of a difference to me. Benjamin Davey on Twitter says, "Why was there so much Will Buxton on Drive to Survive and no Uncle Joe or any other F1 journalists?"
Write to Netflix at netflix.com or whatever and say, "We don't like that Buxton, we want Joe." You know, the fact is, I've got no idea how they choose their people. I think Buxton is very sort of the Formula One point man these days. And if you like him, that's fine. If you don't like him, it probably drives you bonkers. But, you know, that's the way it is. You know, I think they only had one journalist in the whole of the Netflix series.
Yeah, actually. I think that's...
I don't think they had anybody else.
Well, last year they had Chris
Medland.
Yeah, last year.
Yeah, and who did a very good job. I mean, the role of the journalist is really to just sort of fill in the gaps that people don't know. It's not about glorifying the journalist in question. It's just sort of saying, well, we do this because you have to do that.
Wow.
You leave it up to Gunter to be the star, you know.
The chat room is so split. That's unbelievable. I didn't know there was people who didn't like Will Buxton. I think he is a superstar of F1 media, because the guy is essentially, you know, he's doing improv and Amdram at the same time. Everything's expressive.
Well, it depends what he's talking about, because sometimes, you know, whether someone likes avocados is not really that interesting if you're listening into Formula One or which microphone to use. I spent a lot of time watching the F1 testing, or at least listening to it. And there were moments, I have to say, when I had to turn it off because it was driving me bonkers, because it was just endless chit-chat. I'm not saying it was Will. It was there were a whole bunch of people involved. But it was like sort of, oh, my God, can't they just talk about the cars? You know, one of the cars just set a fastest lap, which I spotted, and nobody mentioned it because they're too busy talking about hair tonic or whatever, you know. So, you know, there is a – you've got to think about what the audience is there for.
Okay. I'll defend them a bit, actually, Joe. You don't do any commentary or anything, do you? But I've done like 20.
I have over the years done some, yes. And, it, you know, people think that it's very hard to think what to say. But if you're a blabbermouth, it's easy. You have to keep it relevant up to a point. You know, you do go off at tangents occasionally. But, you know, some of the tangents, you know, whether you like avocados or not, it doesn't really matter to the world, does it?
You mentioned Günther Steiner there. I was scared that we're not doing any Drive to Survive spoilers, so calm down, everyone. It's a documentary. You can't spoil a documentary. My fear was that he was going to become a caricature, become very self-aware. And I did get that feeling straight away that he knew. And I bet there's some pressure to be not just Günther Steiner, but to be Günther Steiner.
I don't agree with that, actually. I thought, as I went through it, I thought the first couple of episodes were not as good as last year. But as we got further into it, I got more and more, actually, this is better than last year. So I would say that episodes 2 and 3 were probably slightly weaker than the best one. But I thought as a whole, it was a terrific, terrific thing for Formula One and a great promotional tool. Now, it has brought a lot of people to Formula One because it takes us. The only thing I'd say about Gunter is that his hair length kept changing. And so, you know, when they were intercutting sometimes, his hair would be sort of long and curly. I saw Cyril Abutable the other day. I said, blimey, you've gone grey over the winter. You must be a bit worried. And he goes, no, I haven't. I just haven't had a haircut.
Oh, it's got, yeah.
So you do have to look at that sometimes and think, you know, they are editing bits into places that don't always make sense. But that's the art of television, darling, isn't it?
Hey, excellent. We are planning to do a little bit of Drive to Survive chat here on the show. It's the boys want to do like a full-on review of Drive to Survive. I think that would descend into, hey, what about that bit? Wasn't that good? So we're in discussion, seeing how we're going to talk about it here.
I don't think going into the detail helps. It's also a spoiler for everybody. But I think that as a whole, just look at it as a whole, and I think it was just terrific. And they're doing one thing I did notice when you got to the episode 10, at the end of episode 10, it basically said, see you next year. So I don't think there's any worries about them having a third series. They're already doing it.
Oh, no,
I expect they're already filming it.
No, there's no doubt. It's a success. Absolutely nailed on success.
Yeah. Well, last year when we went to Australia, it was not sure. And they had a very, very slim skeleton crew of people. They were there, but you were aware of the fact there weren't nearly as many as before because they didn't know at that point if they were going ahead fully. And they were still talking about Ferrari and they were still talking about Mercedes, whether they'd sign up. What was really interesting for me, actually, was the fact that there was almost nothing about Alfa Romeo. Now, maybe they're dull, but there was almost nothing about Toro Rosso. Almost nothing in the whole thing. There was very little about Lando Norris. I mean, there are certain people who just sort of, oh, yeah, I didn't see anything of him in there. I mean, there's some great storylines, you know, the Albon and Gasly and all that sort of stuff. But, I mean, Alfa Romeo was literally invisible throughout the whole thing. I think there was one shot at Kimi at the end, sort of like, yeah, well, you know, I could have been a contender or something. Maybe they'll do series 3. We'll have Kimi's farewell or something. Who knows?
Since you mentioned Cyril Abitbol, I think we'll go there next. I just want to clear up a couple of things in the chat room in case I misspoke, or I want to make clear that I enjoy that kind of test match special bantery commentary where they go off on a little bit of a tangent. You've got 16 hours of broadcast. I don't mind that at all. And certainly I would be in a very glass house if I was to criticize going off on tangents and talking about crisp packets floating across the track.
Yeah, but actually, they had 6 times 8. What's that?
Yeah,
awful
exactly.
Lot of hours. Yeah. Awful lot of hours. But having said that, you know, Test Match Special, when they went off at tangents about cake that had been sent in from ladies in Bournemouth or whatever, it was more interesting than you know. It's I guess it's whether you personalize everything. It's about you. If it becomes about you, I don't think it's so interesting. If it's about cake from Bournemouth, it's different, if you know what I mean.
And then, of course, very split on Buxton. I think that Buxton is such a megastar now that you are going to get a group of vocal people that don't like him. So just to be clear, when I said Amdram and improv, I meant that as a good thing. I think he is a presenter that brings performance art to, and that is much more interesting than just a guy with a microphone saying this happened and then this happened and then this happened. I'm a big fan. So just to be clear on that, Joe Renault, let me ask you a question. It's multiple choice, so it's super easy, mm-hmm. Joe. Where will Renault finish in the championship? 5th, 6th, 7th, or 8th? Easy.
fourth.
What? No, you can't believe that.
I can, because they have a... they are a manufacturer-level organization. And if they do everything right, they should finish fourth.
So why...
Now, will they do everything right is another matter. But the fact is that they've got clever people. They have a good engine now. And so I think they should finish fourth. But will they? I don't know.
Do you get any hint that they've made progress? Because we have to really remember
Yes, I do. A considerable.
They finished fifth last year behind their customer and now Racing Point are a factor.
Yes, that's true. But I think they've made a lot of progress. And I think what they've done very cleverly is that they've invested the money they have because they don't have the same budget as other people. Remember that. But they have spent the money on places where it matters. So, for example, there was a story recently about they're using last year's chassis. Well, not using last year's chassis. They might use last year's chassis design.
Yes.
That's not stupid. That's clever. Why would you design another chassis if you don't need to? For years, Formula One teams have been doing that. It's about body work. That's the bit that makes the difference. Chassis no longer flex in the way. They're all pretty much the same. And there is a very sound argument for having bog standard chassis for everybody.
I may be misquoting here, but I thought it was Mark Priestley who pointed out like weld points on the nose section of the Renault that they have literally just bolted a 2020 front wing onto the last year's design chassis.
They may well have done. And I don't think there's anything wrong with that. It's stupid to build new cars every single year. Formula One was never like that. There was a period, I say was never like that. Formula One got to a point where everyone felt they had to build new chassis and then some didn't and pretended they had. But the fact is that sometimes why would you change? And particularly in the modern era, everything is so advanced and so stiff and so this and so that. You don't need to change things.
So
you just need to change the aero for sure. Yeah.
Okay. So, for someone like me, I've been a Renault cynic since they've came in simply because I've never seen anything. I've never seen any evidence that they have the ambition, the drive, or the capability to go forward. I'm just, what is it that has changed?
But they have been going forward. Apart from last year, they were going forward every year. So it's kind of silly to say they're not going, you know, they have clearly gone from ninth to sixth to whatever it was.
Okay.
And then last year they took a hit because they didn't get it right. And this year they have... Pat Fry now a bit late arriving to make a difference. But, you know, Nick Chester and his guys, they're not stupid people. They're clever people. They had an awful lot of trouble with engines, and engines are now better. They've got decent level drivers now. They've got everything they need. So I think they should be fourth.
Okay, but like Andy Green are clever people. The guys at McLaren are clever people.
That's also true. But, you know, I can't remember which end. I think it might have been Tom Stallard at McLaren saying in the testing, he said, it's great. You feel fantastic. You're energized, everything. And then you realize everyone else has been working that hard as well. And it's like sort of, ooh. So everybody's working hard. Everybody's clever. And, you know, but some people are going to screw up. And that's just the way it is.
So why does Daniel Ricciardo seem a little glum? Why is he open to offers?
Because, well, he's not going to get an offer like he's got where he is right now, to be quite honest. Nobody is going to offer him, unless Sebastian Vettel says, oh, that's it, I'm out of here. In which case, you'd shop around, and if you're Ferrari, you'd probably say, well, we want someone cheap who we can develop, like Leclerc was, and you'd go for somebody rather than buying a star in. But I don't see Vettel quitting. And I don't see, even if Vettel did quit, would they go with Daniel? No, I don't see that either. They'd go with Max if they could get him, apart from the fact that Max said bad things about them and therefore they're grumpy at him for the moment. But if Max was available, they'd fall over themselves.
Yeah, they cheated. Unbelievable. Firstly, though, Joe, worst Sebastian Vettel impression ever. That was terrible.
I didn't realize I was actually impersonating Sebastian.
Well, I don't think you were either. That is my critique that I've just given
you. Okay, fair enough.
But Max Verstappen, I think let's finish up on Red Bull. Genuinely, I was saying to the panel on Sunday, I've got no idea. I was on the hype train. I was off it. I want them up the front so bad for the sport.
They'll be there. They'll be up the front. And I think they might even be ahead. I don't know. I can't judge because... Look, if very clever people have all the data and they can't judge, how the hell are people like us Without the data and without the brain power, perhaps, but how are people like us
going to work out
who's where in the pecking order? The answer is we can't, and it's silly to do that. And so let's just go there. And that's a big enough problem as it is. Let's just go there and find out what happens.
Joe, it's a stressful start to the season for you and for the media guys. You know, I see Chris Medland on Twitter going, I don't know where I'm going.
No, that's not stress. It's just we don't know. You know, the fact is that it sort of adds to the interest level. We don't really care. None of us are sort of, you know, there may be some who want to wrap themselves up in cotton wool and buy all the new paper in the world. But, you know, Formula One people generally are people, let's go do it and see what happens. That's my view, which is, okay, let's just go do it. We have another adventure. Haven't had this adventure before.
Mrs. Spanners, she wants to go out and just find people with coronavirus, just rub ourselves on them, and then go and sit in the house for 2 weeks and get it over with because she's sick of it.
That's not a good idea.
No, I don't think it's a good idea.
Because there is a lady in Japan who has suffered a second infection, which is really odd.
Ooh, okay, so it's not like chickenpox. All right.
No. I'm of the opinion that I think I already had it, to be honest. You know, I had some nasty flu in the middle of February before it all took off, and it was really nasty. And then it went away. It took a long time to go away. But you know, and I've been joking about it. Oh, I've had it already. Don't worry. But you know, it was slightly alarming when this lady in Japan reinfected.
See, kids, you know, we're talking about Joe Snivels. We could be talking about ladies sending in cookies to comms boxes in F1 testing. Everyone does it, Joe. You have
not
done,
for 24 hours.
You've done the thing.
I haven't said whether I like avocados or not, have I?
Well, Joe, do you like avocados?
I'm not talking about that.
All right, I'll get it out. I'll get it from him. I'll get it when he's least suspecting it. In fact, the place to ask Joe might be at one of his audiences. So go and search for Joe Bloggs F1.
Actually, the place to do it would be go to Melbourne, where they have the most pretentious menus in the world. Would you like your special oak-aged avocado, sir?
Oak-aged?
Oh, whatever. They make it up.
I need
go
that.
Along.
Yeah,
you've got
I
to have at
that.
Least two adjectives with every major element in a meal.
Search for Joe Bloggs F1, go to Flat Out Publishing to find Joe's products. He does a fascinating line in toilet books, fascinating F1 facts.
Toilet
You can read a fact while you're on the bog.
Ah, through the heart.
Yeah, oh, come on. It's a toilet book, Joe. You know it is. And also, you know, with the toilet roll shortages, dual purposes. So there you go. So buy Joe's books. We do have a little mini series that I'm adding to when I have time, where I am voicing some of those books. So you can search for fascinating F1 facts on your podcatcher. Just search for that. Follow the show at Missed Apex F1 and me at Spanners Ready on Twitter. Richard Ready, because that's what my mum calls me and Facebook doesn't like Spanners. Richard Ready on Facebook, and come and watch us iRacing on Saturday. Search for our new Missed Apex Motorsport channel. Find the link to that on our social media. We'll be here back on Sunday as well for a new show, and we'll be previewing the Australian Grand Prix if it's happening. Wherever we see you next, be brave, because wounds heal, chicks dig scars, and glory lasts forever. This was Inside F1 with me and Joe. Joe, you always look so amused and fed up at the same time when I'm doing my radio-y bits.
You've gone away. You're breaking up. Can't hear you.
Okay, that is rude, if I'm honest, Joe.
Just, you've seized up completely.
You can just say goodbye normally that you want to go. You don't have to make up.
No. Your internet connection is unstable.
You don't have to be there going, oh, I'm going through a tunnel. France is going through a tunnel, Spanners. I can't hear you anymore. You can just leave any time.
It actually did it a couple of times during the broadcast. I don't know if you picked it up.
No, your internet was
fine.
No,
the internet signal's not great here.
No, and I was furious because, like, your house looks amazing. You've basically got an estate now, like with vineyards and stuff.
No, it's not.
It's like the Picard Chateau. Don't believe it.
No.
It's not. It's
like, no. When I was young, I had all that. And I learned that the last thing you need is estates and all the rest of it.
Yeah.
Hang on. I'm getting myself caught. No.
Why is
okay, that's sorry. Wires around my feet. No, I had all that when I was young. I did all that I must have touched
all that vineyard stuff. But then you said, oh, the internet's worse here. I'm like, why would you move somewhere with worse internet in 2020? Insane.
Because quality of life is not the internet.
Never say that again. Jesus, God, what the hell?
Oh, well, you'll learn one day. As you get older and wiser, you'll probably get wiser.
I have to have my phone on flight mode because it's also my soundboard for an hour during the day. That's killed me. I could have gone viral in this time. I could be an Insta sensation.
You're going to go viral eventually if you stay in England anyway. So.
Not me. I do my work.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.